Hello, this is Bill Plimpton, the director of Hitler's Folly, and you're watching Mr. Media.
I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You can see, hear, and read more than 1,000 of my previous celebrity interviews at MrMedia.com. That's MrMedia.com. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On today's show, I'll welcome back Academy Award-nominated animator Bill Plimpton. But this time, he's here to talk about a live-action mockumentary that blends gonzo documentary technique with Plimpton's he calls Hitler's Folly. It imagines a world in which Hitler still becomes der Führer and wreaks havoc on Europe, but all in pursuit of his dream of being a world-class animator in the spirit of Walt Disney. Stick around. Some spirit, some secrets, the Third Reich still doesn't want us to know. When you start watching Hitler's Folly, the new film by Academy Award nominee Bill Plimpton, the action starts immediately and you can't help but get pulled in. And when you get to the end, you'll probably do what I did. Start over from the beginning and watch it again. Hitler's Folly is a mockumentary, a fake documentary, if you will, in the spirit of, I don't know, Spinal Tap, or if you want to be era-specific, I suggest H.G. Wells' infamous radio play, War of the Worlds. In Plimpton's conceit, Adolf Hitler never lost his desire to become an artist, an animator, in fact, in the mode of Walt Disney. For Hitler, the German aggression of the Second World War, however, is nothing but an opportunity for him to create his cartoon magnum opus, an animated version of The Ring, featuring his Disney-like creation, Downy Duck. And those concentration camps? Wait until you learn what their real purpose was. By the way, Plimpton, whose dad was a pilot for the Allies in World War II, calls Adolf Hitler a media star, quote, the Donald Trump of the past. Now, I don't want to give away too much, but you will likely come to the end of Hitler's Folly convinced that the Axis lost the big one for a completely different reason than the one found in most history books. Hitler's Folly will be streamed for free at www.plimptoons.com beginning on Friday, June 3rd. This is Bill Plimpton's second visit to Mr. Media. The first was in April 2015 to promote his animated feature, Cheatin'. Bill Plimpton, welcome back to Mr. Media.
That was a fabulous introduction. Wow, I should tape it. That was so cool. I'm very proud.
Good news. I taped it for you.
Okay, good.
So, Bill, Hitler?
I've always been fascinated by Hitler. I watch a lot of History Channel and the Smithsonian Channel, and they're constantly talking about the life of Hitler and Nazi Germany, and it's really very fascinating how distorted and how weird people can get, and that's why I was inspired to make this film. I was reading a newspaper and saw that Hitler was a big fan of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And I thought that was the most surreal thing I've ever heard. I mean, here is the most evil man in history laughing over the antics of these dwarfs. So I felt I had to make a film about it. And then the more I worked on it, the more I realized how the comparison between Disney and the movie business and the animation business relates to war. I mean, you know, when you try to distribute a film, you try to take over a territory, you get your forces in line, you try and finance it, and you take victims. And so it really is a wonderful comparison. And that's, I want people, when they go see the film, to have a sense of humor. I mean, sure, World War II was a tragic event, and it was an awful, awful thing. But I think that there is also humor to be found, and you have to have a sense of humor about this story.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, some of our greatest artists the last 100 years have made fun of Hitler, Charlie Chaplin and the Great Dictator, mm-hmm. and I even thought of Jack Kirby and Joe Simon in the pages of Captain America in World War II. They were always, you know, cartooning him up and, you know,
right,
making him look beatable. But weren't you concerned 70 years after Germany lost the war that maybe the subject had been exhausted?
Oh, no. I think to the contrary. I was afraid that I would get some reprisals. In fact, three of my workers refused to work on the film because they didn't want to draw swastikas. So I think the emotions of World War II are still around us. And I'm having the premiere tomorrow night of the film. And I don't know who's going to show up, if the JDL or some Nazis are going to show up. You know, it's still a very controversial topic to make fun of. But I believe in humor. I really think humor can soothe the wounds. And I think there should even be a Nobel Humor Prize, because in these days of terrorism and Trump and all the economy, we need humor to survive.
We've got about 5 or 6 months before the U.S. presidential election. Is that enough time for you to do a short animated film with Trump and a cartoon character?
You know, I would love to do a Trump film, but the problem with that is that animation is evergreen. Animation, you know, you can see some Donald Duck films today or some Tex Avery films, and they're still fresh. But if I did a Donald Trump film, I think in about 6 months it'll be dead. I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on a film that is dead after half a year.
I'm looking at the poster for Hitler's Folly over your right shoulder there, and tell me a little bit about the creation of Downey Duck, because he looks – I can see your style, but I see a little R. Crumb in that too.
Oh, absolutely. It's very R. Crumb-ish. You know, Hitler was a big fan of Walt Disney in reality, and so it just made sense that he would create his own Mickey Mouse. And so this Downey Duck character is sort of his attempt to create a Mickey Mouse type character, and create a world of his own cartoon characters. In fact, one of the funny parts of the film is when Rommel feels competitive with Hitler, and he creates his own Foxy character. And so the two comic characters are in competition. And that's happened in reality. I mean, you had the Fleischer brothers with Betty Boop and Popeye competing against Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. So there are the parallels with contemporary society and the entertainment business are all over the place.
You work in all of the greatest hits of Germany in World War II.
Right.
Goebbels and Leni Riefenstahl.
Yeah, Leni Riefenstahl.
How hard was the – I mean, what aspects did you worry about sticking to actual history, and then where did you feel you had license?
Yeah, that's a good point. A couple of people suggested that I make the film at the beginning to be an actual real documentary, make it feel exactly real. And then as the film progressed, it got weirder and weirder, and then people would start thinking, oh, this is just too bizarre, you know, this can't be real. But I know I wanted to start off from the beginning as it's a really wacky film. And that was a big question I had, was how far to take the humor and whether to make a serious political points. And I really don't want to make political points. I just want to play off the evilness of Hitler. I mean, what was that? The Dr. Evil film, what's his name?
Austin Powers?
Austin Powers, thank you. Yeah, I mean, he's basically Dr. Evil. And that's what makes it so funny, is that's his name, Dr. Evil, and that's what I wanted to play with the Hitler film.
Now, there's animation and there's live action. Which was more challenging for you to film and record?
Well, the animation was a delight. And then also I did some of Hitler's early drawings when he was an art student. And I did some sketches of him, of other his compatriots like Speer and Goebbels and Goering. And that was fun. I mean, that's a pleasure. Doing the live action was probably the most difficult, but that was fun too. I really enjoyed filming these people who met Hitler and you know, talked about Hitler. And all of it was shot on an iPhone because I wanted to get it a documentary feel, but also because I didn't have much money for this film. It was a very low budget film. It was about $20,000.
Wow.
So one of the things we're going to do, we don't have the rights to a lot of this stuff in the film, although most of the historical footage, the documentary footage of World War II, is public domain. But I didn't want to pay a lawyer $10,000 to go through the film and then pay another $10,000 in rights. So we decided to release it for free on the 3rd. And that way people can see the film. And if they like it, the film, they can donate money to my studio to continue my making more films.
I was going to ask you, I couldn't quite figure out where the profit was going to come from.
Right.
This. Yeah, giving it away for free, that's wonderful because I think people will enjoy it. But I was wondering how you were going to make back your cost.
Well, I've never done this before, and I know some other people who have done it, and I just thought it was the only way I could let people see this film. I just don't have the money to clear all the rights because there's like 5,000 or 6,000 shots in this film, so that's a lot of... money right there to try and clear all those rights.
I guess Radiohead was the first to give away their album for free and then say you could make a donation, and then Louis C.K. has done that.
Louis C.K.,
albums,
yeah.
Right?
He's my hero.
it would be great if this could work. How long did it take you to make this film for $20,000?
It went pretty fast. It was about a year or something like that. Two of the people, Ingrida and Michael Mann, spent about 6 months going online, pulling down wacky, but World War II scenes that I thought we could use in the film. And then they photoshopped images of humor on top of these World War II shots. So that was a lot of work, and I really enjoyed that. There's a couple scenes in there where Hitler knows that the war is going bad, so he dresses up in this Downey Duck costume.
Oh, my God, that was so funny.
And walks through these horrible war scenes trying to cheer up everybody's spirits. And, you know, that's, again, it's kind of a Hollywood version of World War II. It's such a fantasy kind of reality.
Did you have to learn new techniques in terms of being able to take that – the Hitler character in the Downey Duck costume and put him in, you know, bombed out Berlin?
Well, I have to tell you that I'm very bad with the computer, and I didn't do it. But like I said, Ingrida and Michael were very good at it. They're fresh out of art school at Kansas City, and they were really excited about working on it and knew exactly what the technology to use. So I was out of it, so I didn't deal with it very much.
It was weird for me to see Dana Ashbrook starring in this movie. And people have to watch it to understand how he could star in this movie. But strangely, this is weird. Last week, I interviewed a woman named Charlotte Stewart, an actress who played his mother in Twin Peaks.
Oh, wow.
She was Betty Briggs. He was Bobby Briggs in the original Twin Peaks, and they're both coming back. Why Dana for this role?
Well, that was a convenience, actually. His girlfriend, now his wife, is a big fan. In fact, she came to one of my screenings, and she's an actress. And we became really good friends, and then she met Dana. And I was a big fan of him from Twin Peaks also. And I just thought he would be perfect for the editor, filmmaker, editor who exposes this whole dark side of Hitler's life, being a cartoonist and a filmmaker. And he was great. He really got into the role. And I'm dying to see the new Twin Peaks that David Lynch is doing.
Yeah, same here. So what's next?
I'm working on a film with a guy named Jim Lujan, L-U-J-A-N. He's an L.A. Cartoonist and animator, and I love his writing. He's writing characters that are very Plimpton-esque. They're very marginal and dark and evil and twisted, and it's called Revengeance. And it's just about done. We're going to start sending it out to film festivals starting next week. And hopefully it'll be out this time next year. We'd like to see it in the theaters this year, this time next year.
And mentioning the film festivals, did you just kind of skip that step with Hitler's Folly? You didn't even go that route at all?
Well, I knew they wouldn't like it. I don't think it's a theatrical kind of film. So I like Louis C.K., I decided to skip the movie theaters and just go straight to the audience, and hopefully it'll find its audience there.
Okay. Well, folks, listen... You can stream Hitler's Folly for free from Bill Plimpton's official website, plimptoons.com. That's PlimpToons.com. For free, beginning on Friday, June 3rd, 2016. That's this Friday, if you're watching this ahead of time. And right. It'll continue to be available on your site, that's, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I just want to tell people to be sure and have a sense of humor when they watch it, okay? You know, life is too short to be serious about everything.
Folks, if you can't look at the poster and have a sense of humor, don't watch this movie.
But, you know, this is taken from a famous Walt Disney sculpture in Disneyland where he's walking hand-in-hand with Mickey Mouse. So it's sort of a parody of that.
The funny thing is it looks like if you believe Hitler's Folly as actual history, then R. Crumb was influenced by Adolf Hitler.
Ah, I never thought of that. Wow. Very good.
And social media, are you Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing?
Yeah, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, we're on all those sites.
All right. Well, Bill Plimpton, always a pleasure to see you. Great movie. Like I said, I watched it twice the same day. And thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Well, I really love your support, and thank you very much. And if I get down there, I'll stop by and say hello.
Recorded live before a studio audience full of professional Nazi hunters who don't know what a mockumentary is, but suspect it has clues that will satisfy their life's work, in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.